Good morning. It is a privilege to be here with you, and I thank your shepherds for the invitation and the opportunity to be here. And one side note, I'm from McEwen, as mentioned, and as you know, here in the South, we tend to go by our middle names a lot, and my middle name was Terry, and so I was known as Terry Lucas growing up there in the church. And When I left in 78 to go to parts of the world unknown, compliments of the U.S. Navy, then they started referring to me by my first name, and I've been Jim James ever since. The decline of denominational churches and religious groups over the past decade, past 20, 30 years even, is well documented and understood, and perhaps not surprisingly, the Lord's Church within America has been declining as well. And statistics indicate that 70 to 75 congregations of the Lord's Church have been shutting their doors every year, and this is prior to COVID. This has been going on since the last 15, 20 years. And in more recent years, in the last five prior to COVID, is the basis for that statistic. And note, this was before COVID. And the most recent information that I've seen indicates that in the year 2020 and 2021, the number of churches of Christ that have shut their doors or have left the pattern we find in New Testament, and they're doing something that's a strange fire, as it were, in their worship, is over 120 congregations each year in those last 2 years. Who knows what will continue? Many churches did survive. A few thrived. However, we need to be clear that the decline of the Lord's Church was not caused or triggered by COVID. The decline has been happening for years, as statistics bear it out. And COVID just sort of shined a light on the cockroaches and in reality made us sometimes painfully aware of what we have been in denial about. And that's, we have lost our first love, and we have gotten away from that great commission that Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 28 before he ascended into heaven. His last words, as it were. For many years, congregations have been steadily declining, and COVID just sort of came and pushed them off the cliff. And other congregations that were seemingly healthy, COVID and then some of the other things happening, have caused them to struggle. And we've all learned a few things about ourselves, and we can take an opportunity to see areas that we can improve. So what can we do? First, we need to get back in the book. Amen. We need to get back to the Bible. Now, we know this. We know that God is in control. We know that God was in control in the past, He's in control now, and God will be in control in the future. This we know. But notwithstanding that, we still have a challenge. We still are called to do that which we can do. So we need to be about our Father's business. We must press on. We must not grow weary in doing good. Galatians 6:9 encourages us of that. Too many of us, I say us, for too long we've chosen to be a spectator in the Lord's church rather than a participator in the Lord's church. And that is to say, in the work of the kingdom. Perhaps now more than any other time in recent history within the brotherhood, it's a time for all hands on deck. And you know, from the very beginning, the intent was that each and every member was involved. So this need to get back to something is really because we have gotten away from something. This expression, all hands on deck, what does that mean? Many of you may be familiar with it. If you stupid, it's actually it has a naval origin. Going back to the 1700s and in the days of the great sailing ships, and it was used in times of distress or emergency or something, an urgent matter where the captain wanted to get all of the men, all of the able-bodied men together because they had something that was of great importance, either to do or to communicate. It was a time of getting everyone together. Hands is simply just another word for sailors. And deck, it's the top side or the flat part of the ship. So in a storm or any other urgent situation, the captain would yell, all hands on deck, and then that word would be passed out, you know, below decks, it would be passed out, and then literally every able-bodied person would come to the top side to either understand, to get the message. If perhaps, as you see in the picture, they had great riggings and it took a lot of manpower to get those, so if there was a storm coming, then all hands need to be involved in securing that properly for to weather the upcoming storm. If enemy was trying to onboard the ship, then all hands needed to be repelling. Whatever it was a matter of extreme urgency and importance, hence all hands on deck. Within the body of Christ and His church, now but always, we need to be all hands on deck. However, the nautical expression may be that, but as it concerns the Lord's church and what we find in Scripture, I think the expression might be better said, every member matters. Scripture is clear about the importance of each member and the relationship among each member. So please turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We will be putting the verses on the screen, but perhaps you'd also like to follow along in your Bible. We'll begin in verse 12, 1 Corinthians 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, all the members of the body, though many, are one body. So it is with Christ. So what the writer is doing, the inspired word of God through this writer, what he's doing, he's making the comparison between our physical body and the body of Christ, the church. And as you know, throughout Jesus' teachings, He would use illustrations of things that we understood to help us understand those things of a spiritual nature that maybe we struggle to understand. So here, talking about the physical body and the members, the hands, the feet, ears, all of those members or components of the body, if you will, that make up our physical body. And he's using that to describe how the spiritual body works. Verse 13, for in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. Now, we need to repeat that because it's important, and sometimes we lose this. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves or free. And you may recall Galatians 3 tells that wonderful passage, 3:28, that, okay, you know, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither... So what's he saying? There's no Hispanic, there's no African American, there's no English, we are all one. There's no man or woman. We have different roles, but as far as our equality in the body of Christ, we're the same. There's no social economic structure or strategy or priority in the Lord's church. We are all the same. And praise God for that. Amen. Praise God for that. We are all one in Christ. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member but many. This is where he's talking about the physical body. Okay, if the foot should say, verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. So what's it saying here? Making the analogy to the spiritual body. If one body part doesn't, they're not the part that they want it to be, perhaps the foot wanted to be a hand, and he wasn't. So it just said, I'm not a part of the body. I can't, you know, I can't grab anything. I can't do what I... It doesn't change the fact that it is still a part of the body. So how does that affect us? What's the message for us in the body of Christ? There may be things that you wished you could do. There may be things that you wished you had the ability to do, certain gifts that you wish you had. But because you don't, you're still a part of the body. And as we continue on, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Now we understand that with a physical body, right? We understand that if we were all feet and no hands or whatever, that we could not function as God intended this physical body. We understand that. And if the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? Verse 18, but as it is, God arranged the members. Who arranged the members? God. God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose. And we'll talk here in a minute about the application of that to us in our spiritual life and our spiritual body. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As there are many parts, yet one body. If we were all preachers, who would lead the singing? Who would serve the communion? Who would lead the prayers? If that's all we did was that one... So we understand that with the physical body, don't we? We get it. But sometimes in the brotherhood, and we within the church, we tend to look upon ourselves sometimes as, because I can't do certain things, then I'm a part of the body, but I'm really not. And you are. You are. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head saying to the feet, I have no need of you. Now what's that saying? What do we get from that? The hand, one body part, can't say, you're not important, I don't need you. And if you think about it, if the head, figuratively, were able to say to the feet, I don't need you, you know, fall off and go away, where would the body, how would the body move? How would the head get around? We understand that. But the application to us and the body of Christ is, we have to be careful that sometimes we look at each other, our other members, and the value we see in them is not the same value that God sees in them. We need to value each other equally. Going back to that verse that tells us we're all equal in God's eyes in the kingdom. And when we go down to this, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. The parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. What does indispensable mean? Absolutely necessary, vital, critical. So the parts that seem to be weaker, the parts within the physical body and the parts within our spiritual body that may seem to be weaker are essential. They're critical. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty. And you can make the connection there in the physical body. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body. No division in the body. And that the members may have the same care one for another. If one member suffers, we all suffer. And if one member is honored, we all are honored. If one rejoice, we all rejoice. Now you who are the body of Christ, you are individually members of it. There's three elements in this passage that we need to make sure that we see the application. First of all, each of us, each Christian, we must recognize that we are a part of the body. We must recognize that we have value. We do have value to the body. And to our local body, to this church, to the brothers and sisters that are assembled as the Waverly Church of Christ. Each one that is identified with that as a member, you have value to this congregation, to this body. And we each must accept that we have that responsibility, not just to the body, but to other members. We have that responsibility to rejoice with each other, to suffer with one another, to bear burdens with one another. And then, thirdly, we must recognize that we each have different gifts. We each have different abilities. But these are given to us by God. And the differences that we have, the different gifts and abilities, there are things that we can do to improve our abilities. If some desire to teach a Bible class, then they can be trained, they can work, they can grow. As they grow in their knowledge, then they can be a successful Bible teacher. Some of us that may like and would like to be able to lead singing like Brother Lynn, and we just don't quite, God didn't bless us with the voice or the ability to do that. But that doesn't diminish my value. God gave you your unique, your personal gift, your abilities, and the skills that you have developed, even in your secular side, the skills that you've developed, God has given you those abilities to do that. And those are what you can bring to the work of the church. And having a good grasp of that term, work, it's another concept we find in Scripture. Each of us must recognize the importance of being engaged in the work of the church and the work of the Father's kingdom and being about that business. And we've often heard it said, and perhaps you have said, it seems 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And in some situations, that can be true. And there's different reasons for that. Sometimes it's because the members feel that their value, what they have to offer, isn't needed. So perhaps those of us in leadership can do a better job of plugging in those members that have perhaps more unique or different skills and abilities than what is needed, that we can do a better job of understanding those and helping you plug into the work of the church in some way. Another aspect that we struggle with in the brotherhood is this thing about work and... So we're supposed to work our way to heaven. And then that becomes a reason to not work, and we focus on grace and mercy and love and faith, and those are important. Very important. Those are essential. But work. Work is essential too. And let me bring to remembrance, we read about in Revelation, beginning in Revelation chapter 2, the letters to the seven churches. As a specific letter to these individual churches, it's addressed to each church, and it's Jesus talking to the churches through the inspired Apostle John. And in five of those letters, at the beginning, we find the words that the Lord uses. He says, I know your works. He's talking to the congregations. I know your works. Some he commended, and some he condemned based on their works. Yes, the works of the church really are important, and even today, and our work within the church, our role in that is equally important. Every member matters. We must recognize that stronger members mean a stronger body. Not just universally, but here in Waverly. Individually, stronger members means a stronger body here. And a stronger body means a stronger kingdom. It means a brighter light in your community. Have you ever suffered an ankle injury or a foot injury or maybe a knee injury? And in doing that, you weren't able to walk without crutches for a period of time. And you know, when you use those crutches, you know, other parts of your body have to deal with that. Your arms, and it also affects your back, different things. And those of you that have gone through it may be able to remember some of those specific things that you struggle with. Okay, when we lose the function of that a leg or the knee or the ankle, it required more from the other parts to be able to maneuver around. So what did we do? Did we get frustrated and say, you know, ankle, I can't walk because of you, and the arms are getting sore, and I've nearly fallen, and so I'm just going to, doctor, amputate my foot. I'm tired of dealing with it. Why no? What do we do? We go to therapy. First of all, we follow doctor's orders. We go to therapy. We try to strengthen it. We may have multiple surgeries so that they can put things in there to help it get back to its role as a functioning body part, be it ankle or knee. And those of you that have gone through therapy, sometimes the therapy seems worse than the surgery. But we do it and we persevere. And why do we do that? Because we know and we appreciate the value of that body part, and we do all that we can to get it restored. And sometimes we're unsuccessful. But we make every effort that we can to do those things that help restore that body part back to its normal health and back to its regular function. Okay, my brothers, sisters, may God help us have that same approach when we see one of our spiritual members struggling. Let's not be quick to cast them aside. When we see members that are struggling, when they're sin sick, and it happens, they're wrestling with sin, may we do all that we spiritually can to restore them back, because we love them and because we see value in them. We want to save their soul from hell, and it's because we value what they bring to our body, to our spiritual body, to the brothers and sisters here at this place. The battle continues. And as we think about struggling members, as we think about our own life, our own spiritual walk, what is Satan's goal? Is Satan's goal to merely cause us to have a certain sin, to participate in a specific sin. No. Satan's goal is to separate us from God. And whatever separates us from God accomplishes his purpose. Satan does deceive us. And he tempts us. He tells us that coming out of COVID, he's telling some that you don't really have to assemble in person in the brethren when they come together on the first day of the week. You got this DVR thing. And you can kind of watch it at your convenience. And you know, we've got these little communion cups, and you know, those sit real well in your fishing boat, in the little well there where you got your minnows, and then there's your deep well for your fish, and you can put your communion there, and then, you know, with internet coverage, you can watch the message right out there on the boat. Okay? A bit facetious, but I think you understand my point in that Satan is deceiving us that what we have here is not that important. Scripture tells us it is. And when we do what we want to do, when we make worship convenient for us, our priorities are misplaced. Satan's goal, separate us from God. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he doesn't hear you. And COVID in itself isn't a sin, but Satan surely used that to separate us. And so many other things distract us from being about our Father's business. And so regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what struggles that we face, we need to pull together, encourage one another, so that we can be single-mindedly focused on those things that we know he wants us to do. And a final thought. How does, in Scripture we read that we're described as sheep, are we not? Talk about that in Bible class a little bit. And there's some specific verses, and they're up there, but for example, in Ezekiel 34, it says, "And you are my sheep, human sheep of my pasture, and I am your God, declares the Lord. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." John 10. And then there's warnings to us. "I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock." Acts 20:29. "And behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves, so be wise. Be wise as serpents, and innocent as doves." How do wolves attack their prey? Yes, they attack the weak, the young, the old, and they try and separate those from the flock. Because they know if they separate one, then it's easy pickings. But they also will attack a fully grown, healthy animal if it gets separated from the flock. Beware of anything that comes between you and God. Remember that the devil's desire is to separate you from God. Through sin, yes, but anything that in and of itself may not be a sin, but if it separates you from God and pulls you away from his people, beware. Satan is deceiving. So I urge you, make it a point to be in the assembly. Make it a point to the chili suppers and the things you have and the opportunities that the eldership here provide for you to strengthen your relationship as members and grow in that bond. I urge you to take advantage of that. Take advantage of that. seek out those ways to engage with your fellow Christians. And remember the importance of Christian companions versus the worldly companions. Whatever's coming between you and God, beware. Finally, we must all remain connected. It's been difficult to do that. But you know, in our society, with the electronic devices we have and the options for entertainment that we have, it's so easy to be distracted. But we must resist. We must focus on those things that matter most. And it's being connected, connected with church. And some of the things that Home Mission has and that Brother Bill in the times to come that he'll be sharing will be some suggestions that may help you connect. And remember this. It may be a struggle to be connected now, but once you totally disconnect, it's harder to reconnect. And we have fallen away members that are out there. And it's going to be hard. But we will work to reconnect. I don't know what your relationship with God is, but you do. And if you are struggling in your connection with God and with His people, I urge you to think about what you can do and make that commitment to strengthen that connection. And if you have disconnected, it's a simple walk. Jesus is always accepting to take us back. Think of the prodigal son. The father was looking for him, and he welcomed him with open arms. And I know your shepherds, your ministers, they care for your souls. They just want you to be reconnected with God. If you have any need, and if you have never connected with God, if you've never been a part of the family of God, you've never been a part of the body of Christ through the death, the burial, and resurrection, and come into the cleansing blood of Christ through that baptism, I urge you to think of that. Perhaps today is when you connect with not just a physical family, but a spiritual family that you can be connected with and you have the hope and the promise of eternal life. Whatever your need, we urge you to consider that. And if we can help in any way, please come forward as we stand and sing.